Father, we thank you for your kindness. We appreciate you and all that you do. Bless us as we now enter into this time of your word. Amen. All right. I'm telling folks I'm a little rusty. Amen. Got a little rust in my knees. Amen. All right. So the Lord is gracious, and I've been thinking about how God uses us today. Amen. I gotta warn you. You're in my preaching finger. You know, you. Yeah, you got. Amen. And so I'm going to be in the book of 1 Corinthians 13 that talks about love, but we're going to talk about love as you minister to people. Amen? So I'm going to just talk a little bit. We're going to read the scripture, but I just want to kind of set the stage a little bit. So in 1 Corinthians 12, the scripture talks about spiritual gifts and how to use spiritual gifts and the administration of spiritual gifts and how God gift you and I with certain specific talents and gifts and things that help the body of Christ. Amen? Amen? And so that's in 1 Corinthians 12. And then he outlines, you know, and if you got a Pentecostal background like me, he outlines speaking and prophecy and word of wisdom and word of knowledge and healing and all these beautiful grace gifts and the administration of grace gifts, right? And then in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, now, as you operate these gifts, you have to operate in love. Amen? Y'all, stick with me now. You have to operate in love, because if you begin to utilize gifts and you don't do it in love, you are going to sound crazy. Amen. You're not going to be received. So when I was a young man, I had just gotten saved, and I was attending Bible class, and when I was attending Bible class, a young lady wasn't talking to me. She was talking to someone else. And she said, I had this dream, and it bothered me. And she began to explain what the dream was. And I wasn't really paying attention, but it caught my ear. And immediately, I thought I knew what the dream meant. It was the first time, you know, I'm not an interpreter of dreams. I don't roll that way, but I had a logical explanation for what she was explaining. And so I say, excuse me. I heard you talk about a dream. And I said, I don't know anything about dreams, but I think I have something logical that makes sense. And I explained it to her, and she said, you know what? That does make sense. I said, okay, all right. And then in another Bible class, a gentleman explained some, you know, prayer request that he had. Then I had a dream, and in my dream, I had a scripture. And I was chasing him to give him the scripture. And everywhere he went, I ran after him. When I caught up to him, he went somewhere else. And I ran after him, and I caught up to him, and he went somewhere else. And the dream ended with me not giving him the scripture. So I couldn't wait to come to Bible class. When I came to Bible class, I said, I'm finally, I got a hold of you. I got the scripture I want to share with you. And I shared the scripture with him. And it was satisfying and gratifying because it ministered to him. Then I said, okay, this thing is something, you know? And then I became a preacher. And I started preaching, and people began to appreciate the preaching ministry. And I was a young lion. I was pointing my finger, and I was stomping, and yes, Lord. And I used to practice. I can't do it now, but I used to, oh, Lord. And I used to watch those preachers preach, and I was like, God, I want to preach like that. I was a preaching preacher, and preachers love preachers. And I wanted to preach like those preachers, and I was like, God, I can't preach like them, you know? But I wanted to so bad. I would get in the mirror. Yeah, Lord. I couldn't do it like them. My wife said, just stick to explaining the word. That's what you do. Don't try to be like them. I want to be like them. But something was happening that I didn't know was going to happen. And that is, I had the capacity in me. Hold on to your seatbelts here. I had the capacity in me to be stupid and do stupid stuff. I didn't know that. I had the capacity to be angry, and I didn't know until a circumstance that come about that reveals what's deeply inside of you that you didn't know you had. Amen. I had the capacity to be lustful, and I didn't know that. Not only just lust for sexual, lust for habits that just wasn't fitting into the kingdom of God. I began to thirst for things. I was a sales rep, and boy, when they told me I did good and I was number one in sales, boy, and I sit there and look real humble, but deep inside I was like, yeah, I'm the baddest dude in town. I am the baddest, and I would become so disappointed if somebody else became the number one sales rep. I was jealous on the inside, and I didn't know I had jealousy in me. Y'all right out there? And I begin to crave the results of being number one. I begin to crave the results of getting the accolades. I wanted power. And I didn't know that I had that lust of power in me. And when I didn't get my way, well, let me tell you, you're going to get a word and it wasn't going to be holy. Amen. It wasn't going to be righteous. There's something about human nature. There's something about human nature that is ugly, and you don't know that you're ugly until the right circumstance come about that present to you how ugly you are. Amen. It's quiet in here. So I begin to get a hold of the scripture, and now I was in a constant battle with me. So I couldn't say, you over there, you love your neighbor. You way down there, you love your neighbor. I had to go in here. I love my neighbor. Amen. You supposed to be kind. You supposed to be reverent. And you supposed to be godly. And so I said, I'm supposed to be kind. I'm supposed to be godly. I got the battle. I didn't understand But I quickly learned that the battle is within. Amen. That this Christian fight, amen, that this walk with Jesus is a personal one, and it's me, and it's not them. Even though it's them, who cares about them when it comes to my walk with the Lord? Amen. So I got to walk with God. I got to be righteous. I got to live holy. Amen. So as I begin to preach, I begin to be humble, because I used to cut. At one time, I was we're going to read in a minute. Just hang in there. One time I was offered to pastor a particular church. I said, no. Because I cut heads off. My preaching style is vicious. I'm going to deal. And most of the time when I'm preaching, it wasn't that I was preaching at them. I was preaching at me. I wasn't telling them it was preaching at me, but I was talking about myself. And when I finished preaching, people would come up to me and go, Lord, what you were saying, it hit me so hard. I was thinking, I was really talking about me, but if it hits you so hard, I was scared. I was scared to pastor a church because I thought that I would kill people when I preached. But I learned that there is a balance, amen, and that is, if I love, I thought holiness was this: you don't drink, or you don't get drunk. We can talk about the. You don't drink and you don't curse. We can also talk about that. We can talk about that too. You don't drink. You don't curse. Amen. You don't sleep around. You don't. You don't watch ugly movies. You don't, these things that you're not supposed to do. But what nobody ever talked about, holiness is also loving people. Amen. And engaging with the community. And a lot of times, people don't like cold calling evangelism. People don't like you. Technology companies will put an ad in the back in the day. You put an ad in the paper. They put it online now, but they would advertise. We need outside sales reps. We need people to make outbound calls, and we need people to knock on doors to offer our products. And they sit these people down and they say, all right, this is a job for outside salespeople. And the job is you have to cold call. You have to make 50 calls a day. And then some days we go out and we do a blitz. It means we go knock on doors and we pass out flyers. Are you willing to do that? And the person goes, uh-huh, yeah. And then they get 10 people and they hire 10 people. And then they go, all right, we go through training. They sit there 2 weeks or 30 days. They go through training. They say, all right, it's time to go out cold calling. And nobody go cold calling. I'm busy doing this. I'm configuring my paperwork. I'm getting my list together. And, you know, I want to cold call the right people. Everybody had their excuses, but nobody wanted to do it. But in the interview, y'all with me out there? In the interview, they say, yeah, I want a cold call. Yeah, I want this job. But when it came down to doing it, nobody wanted to do it. It sounds like evangelism. Amen. It's quite it. All right. We have to come to a place where we take on the command to compel people to come. Amen. We gotta. It's you know, we used to go. It's uncomfortable now. But excuse me, do you know the Lord? You know, no. Oh, okay. Well, I want to share the scripture with you. I had somebody, you know, several times approach me. Excuse me, do you know the Lord? I went yes. And they were they didn't know what to say. They didn't tell you. They didn't train you on if you encounter somebody. You have to love people. You have to be engaging. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter reads, I'm starting at the very first verse. It says, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endure all things. I was back when I was heavily in the ministry. I was talking to the district, and I said these churches, there's a handful of these churches, they have certain administrative issues that they're struggling with. Right? And I said, so here's all the issues that they're struggling with. And I laid them out. And the leader at that time got really upset. And he began to, you know, I call it barking. He began to bark at these churches. And he was very rude and very over the top. Over the top. Just, I'll be honest with you, it was a bit mean. And I jumped in. I said, "Hey, that has nothing to, you know, the purpose of this is to deal with these issues, and the things that you're addressing is not what we're talking about. You jumped on something else," and it came off mean. Later down the road, when the leader wanted to minister to these people and wanted to share the wisdom of God and share the scriptures, imagine the shock that he had when they didn't want to hear it. You understand? Yeah, they didn't want to hear it. Why? Because they were bent out of shape from the earlier exchange. Amen. And what I'm saying is, you got to operate in love even when you are frustrated with folk. Amen. Even if you are disappointed, you got to have the maturity in you to be able to minister the word of God. Nothing should hinder you. Amen. That's why I battle me. I got to be right with God, and I got to stand before God. Amen. And get myself together. So when I minister, there's no hindrances. I'm almost finished. If somebody say amen, I'm almost finished. Okay. I was in this argument with my darling wife, and I It wasn't an argument. I'm the affectionate one in my family. I want a kiss before you leave. I want a kiss before you come home. I want a kiss goodnight. I want to rub noses like the Eskimos. I'm the grabby, huggy husband. And my wife is like, you know, whatever. So I wasn't getting the response that I wanted. And so I said something stupid, like husbands do. So I told her, you know what? I need me a new girlfriend. Now, and I was asking her permission. I mean, it's, be honest, if I was looking for a girl, I wouldn't tell her, right? So I'm telling her, can I have a girlfriend then? Because you don't like rubbing noses when you come through the door. And she didn't respond. She didn't think it was funny. I thought it was hilarious, but. She didn't think it was funny, and so she didn't respond. So later on that night, she came home. So she said, "Oh, so you still want a new girlfriend?" I'm like, "That was a joke." The following day, I got devotion. I'm ready. I'm going before the Lord, and I have a list of requirements that I want the Lord to address in my life. Okay, I got bills that need to be paid. I got to go see the doctor, and I want the report to be good. And I got this certain toys that I like, and things in my hobby that I need a little resource to make happen. And I'm going to have my devotion. And I was so ready. And I sat down, and I have this chair that I sit in, and my Bible is sitting there. And I got this list of things that me and Jesus is going to address, and when me and Christ is going to, we are in fellowship, and God, and I'm feeling good because, you know, it might take a minute, but I think the Lord really, you know, concerned about me, so he's going to get all these things that I want to talk about, right? And so that's things that I want to talk about. But I hear preachers all the time that said, you know, the Lord told them and the Lord spoke to them. The Lord told them to walk 10 steps, turn right, spin around, hit the splits, and then there's your miracle right there. And I'm not saying that they're wrong, but I just don't roll that way. I just don't. But so I'm sitting there and I'm ready to hear from the Lord. And I got these things I want to discuss. But he wanted to discuss something else. You want to know what he wanted to talk about? So, you ask your wife for a new girlfriend. I'm like, oh, I felt like I was trapped in a room and I couldn't get out. And it was a joke. I can't go into how. You know, people say this is what the Lord was saying, but I came away feeling that as mature as I am and as long as I've been in the faith, that I should be so clamped down in my faith that I don't even have to play like that. Amen. That I don't have to go in that direction. I should be so seasoned in my faith, so seasoned in my walk, that something like that shouldn't even come from me. Amen. Because I've been in it too long. To be honest, I said it because I wanted to get under her skin. So really, I was being selfish and I was pouting. I was pouting. And I was acting like a child that couldn't get his way. So I was being mean. I was being ugly. And I was saying things out of revenge. It ain't funny anymore, isn't it? And I had to repent. I had to go before the Lord and say, Lord, listen, I'm sorry. I didn't know the damage that I was causing. And not only that, I didn't know that I had that kind of freedom, and I don't. And so I had to gather myself and remind me that I need to be clamped down, because love doesn't do that. Love doesn't say things that intentionally hurt you because you're mad that you don't get your way. Love doesn't do that. Amen. All right, it's quiet in here. Love bears all things. Love is not selfish, and it doesn't reward wrong. Amen. You got to walk in love. And if you don't walk in love, and it's hard for people to receive when you do operate in your gift. Amen. When you operate in your gift, you got to do it in love, because the Bible says you sound like a gong and a clanging cymbal when you don't walk in love. And then try to say, you know what, the Lord has spoken to me, and I believe that he's saying this, and you're like, yeah, but you said something offensive. In the John chapter 4, you don't have to turn to it. Jesus is dealing with the woman at the well, and he's tired. And he's walking. He sent the disciples on. They avoided the whole Samaria land. Jesus walked right in it because he's God. And he looked upon the Samaritan woman. He was thirsty. And he said, give me something to drink. And you got to understand, it's a Samaritan woman. It's like being down south. And somebody white goes to a black person and say, give me something to drink. As a matter of fact, give me the cup that you're drinking from, and I want to drink after you. Sounds kind of weird now, but that's the context in which Jesus is addressing this Samaritan woman. Give me something to drink. And she says, you don't even like me. Why would you? She said, the Jews don't have nothing to do with the Samaritans. Why would I give you something to drink? She began to talk about, you don't like me. You don't like, why would you even approach me? Why are you even talking to me? And Jesus said, if you knew who you was talking to, I would give you water that you'll never thirst again. And to make a long story short, Jesus said, look, your theology is wrong. You're an adulterer. You got five husbands, and the man that you're with now is not your husband. And matter of fact, you're right, my group of people, the dominant culture, we don't like you, but I will bring you into eternal life right here, right now. In other words, he didn't care what her cultural situation was. He didn't care what her political situation was. He didn't care what her social situation was. He was cold calling. He was reaching out and saying, I want to have a relationship with you. Let me drink from your cup. Now, we might not say that today because you might sound kind of weird. But it won't hurt to say, how you doing? I want to get to know you. Let's have coffee. Come to men's breakfast on Saturday morning, whatever the Sometimes we don't want to be inconvenienced because we like to rest and we like to work and we're tired. We got grandkids that we're chasing, putting their greasy fingers all over the house. We got to wash it and glad to see them come over and glad to see them go home. And we are exhausted. But can we entertain the idea of ministering to somebody in love, no matter who they are, what they look like, what their social status is? Can we reach out and say, I go to Antioch Wesleyan, I want to invite you to Sunday morning services. Amen? That don't hurt. Amen. Come hear my pastor. He's a great pastor. He's a great leader, and he's talking about church growth and going deeper into a relationship with Christ. I think you would benefit from that. Let me share with you my faith journey. You know, I started off and I did silly stuff as a young man or young woman. And, you know, as I began to grow and I made decisions for Christ, and you know what, now I have stability and comfort in Christ. And you know, I would really love that for you. Won't you come on and come with me and come to women's Bible class and see what we're talking about? Amen. We got to come to a place where we might be just a little bit uncomfortable. Amen. And begin to minister to people, because it feels so good to sit here and not bother anybody and sit and be quiet and go, hey, man, how you doing? How you doing? How you doing? Without saying, Jesus, use me to put your hooks into somebody and now start ministering to them. Amen. Everybody want to sign up for the job until it's time to do the job. Amen. I'm wrapping up. Amen. When Christ is the preeminent one in your life, he is the most important thing, then it is my responsibility to live holy, to live righteous, and to be godly, and to not to do anything silly that would sully the name of my church, my pastor, my faith, my family. Amen. That I don't do anything crazy. Amen. I remember when a pastor, Steve Babby, people would come to him and say, I want to pastor a church. What kind of advice would you give me? And he said, okay, don't do anything stupid. That was the advice he gave. And I say, hey, it depends on where you put the comma. Don't do anything stupid, or don't do anything stupid. We got to be righteous. We got to live right. Amen. I'm asking the worship team to come on. Father, we thank you for your kindness, how you've been so good to us. We ask that you would bless this word, God, and those who hear it, that we might know you in a better way. In Christ's name, amen.